New Year's Eve is a time to reflect on the past while looking forward to what may lie ahead. A perfect sort of back to the future moment for a little music from Thomas Dolby. The mad scientist musician first boggled listeners in the 1980s with his smash hit, She Blinded Me with Science. Fans might also remember Hyperactive, Airhead, and One of Our Submarines. His last studio recording was in 1993, and you probably haven't heard much from Thomas Dolby since. At least, you think you haven't. That crazy cell phone ringtone? That's right, it's Thomas Dolby. In fact, some 300 million phones today use his software, and many play his electronic dabblings. His dip into the cellular world was supposed to be only a brief break from his more conventional music, if you can call it that. But that break turned into more than a decade of relative silence from Dolby. Until now. This year, he updated his electronic rig, gone are the days of bulky synthesizers and actual tape loops, and hit the road again, now with a Mac laptop, a couple of small keyboards, and a drum pad. We convinced Thomas Dolby to drop in on NPR Studio 4A and play us something with his futuristic electronic gear.
Coming back now, after 10 or 12 years away, I feel like Austin Powers, who went to sleep for a decade and woke up and there's all these shiny new toys. So when I play live, I have some brand new devices with me, but I also have antique devices like signal generators from the US Air Force and a oscilloscope from the Royal Navy, which I have retrofitted so I can actually include them in part of my setup, because it's a lot more satisfying, you know, to use like a huge brass dial to open and close a filter cutoff than it is to use one of these little knobs and sliders on these new devices. So when I play live, I'm layering, and I have a head-mounted camera on my headphones, and behind me a big video screen. I have a live VJ who is doing a mix of security cameras dotted around my kit, so people can see me layering this stuff, and they've described it as sort of watching somebody pull a rabbit out of a hat. They find it really fascinating.
Could you sort of do for me, say, okay, this thing over here, it does this, and play it a little bit, and then say...
Yeah. So I can actually build a track for you, if you like.
That'd be great.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, I'll start with something like a shaker here, and then I can add sounds in. And then I can pop the thing into record, and that means that anything I record will become part of the sequence. So, you know, I can then add layers on top. So I'm going to put in some drums now. So I move on to a musical sound. Also now become part of a loop, and I move on to a bass. And once the whole groove is going and I've got it the way I want it, I can move on into the song and sing a song over the top of it. I'm going to start with a trombone part. Etc.
Wow, that's fun.
So, you know, I mean, when I'm writing, I jam with this stuff. You know, I just find a bunch of sounds that I like and I'll just loop it around for hours, you know. Lyrics pop into my head, you know, I'll just jot them down on a piece of paper, and so I sort of build songs that way.
You know, it makes me think of the fact that in the 80s, when you first started playing this kind of music, your equipment must have been much, much bigger. I mean, you're sitting here right now with relatively small amount of equipment. Back in the 80s, having a Moog, having a big synthesizer was a huge deal.
Oh, it was a huge deal. In fact, when I started out in the 70s, only super rich rock stars or university music departments could afford them. And in fact, there were a bunch of us in the underground electronics scene in the UK, people like Throbbing Gristle and Cabaret Voltaire. We used to hang around at the back of university music departments, diving into the dumpsters, hoping to find circuit boards that we could solder together to make our own synthesizer. In fact, my first synthesizer was built from a kit in the back of a magazine. It's called a Transcendent 2000. It had all these blobs of solder hanging off it. Oh.
are, of course, known as the guy who did Blinded Me with Science. Do you get sick of that?
I saw it as a springboard, really, to get people into my more esoteric stuff. I mean, I actually have a very wide range, because stuff like Hyperactive or Science is sort of, you know, fluffy, up-tempo, very, very catchy, likeable, and so on. But on my albums, there are very personal, very intimate ballads like Screen Kiss or I Love You Goodbye. And if the ballads was all I did, then I never would have had a wide audience, you know. I mean, I don't go out of my way to make stuff radio-friendly and, you know, I would have been a marginal artist at best. So I just view it as something of a leg up, and that drew people in to discover the more serious side of my music. I really should have seen through the airwaves. People never read the airwaves. Do we only feed the airwaves? I really should have seen through the airwaves. This year, 2006, as you look back on it, this is the year that you came back to the music business. Tell us what you've been doing. Play us what you've been doing this year. Yeah, well, I should play you one song, actually, which this has got a sort of an interesting story behind it, which came about because it came to my attention that somebody on MySpace had taken a sample of She Blinded Me With Science and put a rap over the top of it. And it turned out this person was one K-Fed.
Kevin Federline did that?
I don't read the celebrity press, right? So I had no idea.
This is Britney Spears' now ex-husband or something. Dude.
Yeah. So I went and investigated. And I had an open mind, you know, because I think a lot of these celebrity spouses get a bum rap, you know. But I listened to it, and frankly, it was twaddle.
And what does that mean?
Well, it means rubbish. It was terrible. Okay. It was all about player haters or something. And he hadn't had permission to do it, you know, and that's illegal. I mean, there's a straightforward way to do it legally,
right.
And he hadn't gone through the right process to do that, and so I needed to get it taken down. And it had already had 500,000 downloads from his MySpace page by this point.
Oh, my gosh.
And as they say, you know, you can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. So it wasn't about a licensing fee for me. It was just that I didn't want my music contaminated. So I tried to get it taken down. And the problem was, you know, how to get a cease and desist letter to Mr. Britney Spears. You know, what do? You get a map of the stars' homes and look up Mr. and Mrs. B. Spears. So I came up with a plan, and that was to take the person's cease letter and post it on KFED's MySpace page.
Really?
Yeah, I thought this would be sort of a subversive act. Unfortunately, there was a problem, and that is that there's a filter on MySpace where words above one syllable get bleeped out. Words like notwithstanding and so on just don't get past the filter, you know. So it's like, so this wasn't going to work. So I was just starting to give up, but I eventually came to the conclusion that I could get my revenge in a more upbeat kind of manner by writing a song.
Let's hear it.
And so here it is. Your karma hit my dogma, but it's coming around again. Your karma hit my dogma, now it's back on the gravy train. Well, I hate when this crap happens to me. Yeah, but why would I be surprised? Because pointy-breasted Belgian birds were the bane of my former lives. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your karma hit my dogma, but he used to be mad. Bodies come to a sticky end. And each time the same stuff happens to me. Yeah, but why would I be surprised? 'Cause your karma hit my dogma. Now you'll be hearing from my lawyer. And I so nearly paid the price. Don't keep doing that. You shouldn't have taken your fool. He's a man's best friend. Don't keep doing that. You
has come to a sticky end. Don't keep doing that, doing that.
Have a new live CD out in which you play a lot of these things. You have a DVD, but there are rumors out there on the internet of a new album of all new music that you've been working on coming out maybe in 2007. How true are these?
I'm definitely working on new music. My goal with the tour this year was to reconnect with the music that started me off on this path. And so The Soul Inhabitant is the name of the CD and DVD that we're selling now. Mm-hmm. But I am working on new stuff, and 2007 will be a year when I will definitely put out new material. Whether it'll be an album or anything as quaint a concept as that, I don't know. I mean, I love the fact in this day and age you can do songs singly or mm-hmm. in batches of three or five, or put a song in a movie or a TV show or a commercial, you know, that you don't have to be constrained to the sort of 12, 14 song cycle.
Well, Thomas Dolby, thank you so much for showing us your sort of one-man band here, your one-man electro-musical circus.
Oh, thank you.
Can you play us out with something, with a song?
Sure. You want to hear a little bit of the one that everyone knows?
Okay, Mr. Blinded Me with Science. Let's hear it.
Known scientist, it would be a bit surprising if the girl blinded me with science. Science!
Oh, but it's poetry in motion. She turned her tenor eyes to me, as deep as any ocean, as sweet as any harmony. But she blinded me with science.
At our website, you can get full performances of Thomas Dolby in NPR Studio 4A and listen to Leanne Hansen's 1993 Dolby interview. That's at npr.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, produced by a wonderful staff of people. Senior producer Rob Molesky, editor Cindy Johnston, and director Ned Wharton. Also producers David Rector, Jesse Baker, Laura Krantz, and Andy Lyman. Rob Byers is our technical director, with audio engineer Ted Mebane. The reference librarian is Key Molesky. Our theme music was written by BJ Lederman, with additional music from Steph Skajari and Greg Smith. It's back to the Capitol for me. John Itzty will be sitting in the host chair for the next month. Happy New Year. I'm Andrea Seabrook.
He blinded me.